Whether you're just delving into the world of voiceover,
you're an established voice actor,
or you just want to listen to some unfiltered thoughts and opinions about the industry,
then this podcast is for you.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Jen. And this is the Off-Air Podcast. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of the Off-Air Podcast. Michael.
It's too cringe,
Jen. It is the name of our podcast.
It's too cringe.
There should be so much pride there. Oh, I am feeling a lot of pride, actually. We launched yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, my God.
And I, so much pride. I'm so bloody grateful for all of you guys.
Yeah, we put out a little thank you video if you've not seen it already. But yeah, just to reiterate, today's the day after the launch episode, and it's just been overwhelmingly positive. It's still continued to be downloaded. Just thank you, honestly, so, so much.
All
of you that have shared it on your stories and whatnot. I mean,
what legends. Yeah, what
absolutely
legends.
Absolutely amazing. So yeah, can't thank you all enough for that. We actually didn't think that episode was going to come out before the award nominations were released. I thought the award nominations were going to come out the 28th of March. So we thought we'll do this episode first. People won't know yet. But actually, I think it coincided quite well because, you know, everyone kind of, you know, knew what was going on.
It was
on,
indeed. It was fever. Awards fever in the voiceover community. Yeah.
Well, actually, speaking of awards, you know the website X?
I'm familiar with X, yeah.
Right. So they've got this thing called Community Notes. Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
Right, so if somebody posts something and they say this is what's going on in the video, whatever, if it's not true, they've got this thing now where people call it out and say, well, actually, no, this isn't accurate.
Right.
This is what's actually going on. Well, anyway.
What about the busy on X?
We've got a little bit of our own community notes today.
I see.
Because do you remember on the last episode I was saying about surely when the judges listen to work, like if they... Because I thought it was all the same judges. Like I thought the same people do it year in, year out. And I was like it's almost like your ears create like a bit of a bias. Like if you hear voices that you instinctively recognize and you know these are great people, like I have this
like
theory
unconscious
that,
bias.
Yeah, it's like yeah, it's just this theory I've got. Like I said, if I watch a film with Leo DiCaprio, I'm automatically going to assume it's fantastic. You know what I mean? It's just you don't.
He's very talented.
Yeah. I mean, the more I say it out loud, the more ridiculous it kind of sounds. But I know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, anyway, you had a conversation yesterday with the one and only Mr. Hugh Edwards, didn't you?
I did. So I had posted our podcast on the British Voiceovers Facebook group, and he'd been in contact to say, basically, you can post his first one, but not any more episodes. But also that he'd listened and really enjoyed it. Thank you, Hugh.
Thank you.
And he just wanted to, he's made a comment and said, we'd been talking about what Michael just said about the bias, and he just wanted to be, let us know a bit more about it. So actually what the process is, for this year, certainly, they've got 15 judges from around the world, all with different niches. And so while some judges will be very familiar with the voices who always get nominated, some won't have a clue who they are. So, and then all scores aggregated and bish, bash, bosh.
Right. So there you go. I didn't know that. I literally thought they sort of handpick the same 15, 20 judges because they're experienced, they know what they're listening for, and it goes for none. I thought, well, not that, like I said, I made it clear last time that not for a second did I ever suggest that there is bias. It was more of like a you know, just your ears creating the bias. I'm just going to stop saying it. It sounds... I know what I'm trying to say. And to some degree, it makes sense. I'm just not articulating it very well. Well, there you go. So cheers, Hugh. That is us community noted.
Keep listening.
We've just been schooled. We've learned something. I didn't know that, but now I do. And thanks for sharing. So, in this one, we thought we were going to talk about something that I think all of us are pretty much trying to do in our careers at any given moment, and that is level up. And I think it's hyper-relevant, especially for me, because I remember I talked last time about how, you know, last year was quite a stagnant year for me. I didn't really make much effort in terms of trying to improve myself and whatnot. But obviously, this year is a new year, and, you know, really got that sort of drive and motivation back to really sort of push forward. And I think it's been exasperated by, like, we've been pretty fortunate, haven't we? We did the performance capture in Manchester.
Yes, yeah.
My God, that was an experience. And we also did the radio drama class with Tanya.
Yeah.
So I think like when you sort of delve into sort of new stuff, it just gives you that massive dopamine boost of like, yeah, I really want to do more of this. Like, how do you get, like, you know, involved in more things and just all the things that go with it to try and level up, as you say. But I mean, how good was that performance capture, though? Jesus.
Oh, it was so good. I absolutely loved it. So Michael was contacted on X by Manchester Met University because they wanted a couple of actors to come in. So they were creating this whole session to help their animation students kind of learn the ropes of mocap, PCAP work. So then they can go on and animate our work and into like characters and stuff. It was just brilliant, wasn't it? I enjoyed it so much.
I was absolutely bricking it.
We had a lot of conversations about what are you wearing, but what are you going to wear before the session?
Like, do you have to wear like, do you have to come in like some slippers, your bare foot? Like, what do you wear? And, like, I don't know. So we turned up. And obviously, well, because like, I thought as well, with it being the university, I was like, are we in like some massive room? It's going to be like an auditorium almost of like students watching us. I was like, Jen, I'm absolutely bricking it. And we got this script the day before of like this zombie scene. Like, so they are actually animating a scene for a game or something. It's all part of their course. So it is all like, you know, proper work. And so we had to play this scene, and me and Jen were sort of wondering and who's going to play what. And then we get in there, it's like, no, we'll decide. Thank you. I was like, so, all right, sorry.
Humble.
We thought they were going to leave it to us, like, just pick whichever role you want. But they obviously had it all mapped out. And it, as it turns out, we picked right.
Yeah.
And we played
the scene. It was a very professional setup there, wasn't it? I was really, genuinely really impressed. The equipment and everything they had there was, yeah, brilliant. What an amazing thing to do for the students.
They were so nice. And the thing, yeah, so when we got there, we got in this room, and I don't know measurements-wise, but it was large. It wasn't a massive room as such, but it certainly wasn't what I was thinking it would be, which I'm glad about. And
it was a proper mocap studio, though.
Proper mocap
studio,
yeah. The setup
was amazing. Full bells and whistles. Full rig and everything.
Yeah, yeah, full bells and whistles. And we had to put these, put the black suits on, and they put all, like, 60-odd little markers to track you with and everything. I said, what are those? Oh my God, those hats. Jeez Louise.
When they put that strap around your beard to keep your hat on, that was so funny. If any, like, we definitely need to share a picture, I think, in the Instagram page, just so everyone can see us looking like absolute knobs.
It looked like anyone else who wore it was like, okay, we see that's part of the outfit. For me, because they had to put a strap on it, it looked like a safety hat because I keep falling over and banging my head or something. Just to protect me from brain damage. So. It's like, no, you need the other hat. This one's got more sponge in it. So then we did the thing with Tanya.
That was such a hoot, wasn't it? So Tanya Rich owns Richcraft, which is a coaching business. Sorry, Tanya, I'm butchering the business. There's a lot of other amazing people who work there as well, but Tanya owns it. And so they held a session. A little workshop to do a read through.
Yeah. I have to just get this off my chest as well because I was meant to reach out to Tanya about this. Right. On that session,
Are you doing a public apology now?
I'm going to do it now. I'm just going to do it. I have to. Fuck it. I have to get it
have
off my chest.
Have you not contacted him yet?
I don't know who this person is.
Okay, right. You go then. Right. You go. Okay. Maybe he'll hear the podcast.
There's another guy called Michael, right, who was on that session with us. And when we got the scripts, got the casting through, it said Michael Ash, Michael Arch, Michael Ash. Now, I thought Michael Arch was a typo, so I thought nothing of it. So when it came through for him to say his bit, I just started. And some other guy started, and I thought that person, because we're all swapping roles around, weren't we?
Yeah, and it's on Zoom, so you can't see everybody. And it's a bit
confusing,
because
I was looking at the scripts, I wasn't looking at the screen. So the person that chimed in when I chimed in, I thought that was the person from the previous script, forgetting that he'd swapped roles and was carrying on. I was like, no, I'm that person now. But it was this Michael fella. And I took all his lines. And then at the end, he was like, I've got to go now. And then I went, hang on a minute, there's two Michaels here. And they went, yeah, And it just, he clicked off.
He'd gone by that point, I think, hadn't he? Yeah. You're a bad person.
I've been meaning to reach out to Tanya, like, listen, who is this person? Because I need to apologise.
The mysterious Michael Arch.
Whoever Michael Arch, I don't think Arch is his full name.
No, I don't either.
So, yeah, there we go.
We will find him and you can apologise.
I had to get off my chest because I felt like a right dipshit. Anyway.
Are you better now? Better? Okay.
Well, no, because I still feel bad, but at least I've got it off my chest. Then okay, been fine. So, anyway, so we did the radio drama thing and that was tremendous. Anyway, so my point being is, like, so from all of that, like, what like, where are you at with the whole, like, trying to sort of level up? Like, have you thought it through, like, where you're going to go from here with it?
Well, very similar to you, I'm very keen on character roles. So for me, the areas that I want to work more in are video games, animation, and audio drama as well. So it's fortunate that your and my objectives align. And particularly video games, I want to do performance capture. So as I've mentioned previously, my background is in on-screen and theatre acting. So performance capture feels like the two worlds colliding in terms of voice acting and physical acting, and there's so much joy to be had, but it's difficult work to get. So you've got to be the best you can be to get it.
Here's the other thing as well, right? Somebody said to me a while ago, and I think this is such a true statement, but basically said, with the rise of AI, if you really want to have longevity in voiceover, you need to learn how to act.
Yeah.
Because AI can't act. In time, I mean, I don't see AI as the be-all, end-all that some people make out. It is getting better. It is here to stay. But I don't think it's the Skynet of our modern world. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's going to take over. But it will have an impact. It will have an impact.
I completely agree. Yeah. And like I was saying to you before, like I saw someone on Instagram, personal Instagram, that they weren't being hired for a role for the BBC because they were able to use an AI voice. And that is fucking scary. The BBC.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. This is that Sarah Poyser.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all right, fair enough. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of that situation. I was reading about that. She got a message from a production company confirming that whatever project she was going to work on, the BBC have turned around and said, we're actually going to use the AI version. So I don't know if she's given them a synthetic version of her voice and they've decided to use that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. She seemed, just from the Instagram post that I saw, pretty annoyed, which I would be too.
She's well pissed off. Yeah. Like, the backlash on it is huge. What's more ridiculous is the BBC have shown support.
Yeah.
They had a massive backlash for using AI in some capacity to promote the new Doctor Who series. And there was a massive backlash on it. So they were like, we're not going to do it anymore. You know, they support the arts. And now they've replaced Sarah.
But I believe they've signed an agreement with Equity as well. So I don't understand how it's even been allowed to happen. So unless Equity now then stand up and say, you know, yo, what's happening here? Which I hope they do.
It is, like I say, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but yeah, I mean, I do double down on my belief that I think AI is here to stay. Over time, it is going to get better. And it will affect some jobs. That is inevitable. I still believe, though, that it's like 3D TVs. Somebody told me this. It's like 3D TVs. When they came out, they were a big craze. Oh, God, they're amazing. Then after a while, people are like, you know what? They're actually pretty shit. I prefer what I originally had. And it's true. And I think AI is going to go the same way. It'll be like, oh, it's cheaper. We can do it this way. And then people are going to turn around and go, yeah, but it's actually not nice to listen to. Like, I want to hear a real person. And I think it's going to come full circle. A lot of companies now, a lot of their branding seems to centre around creating that human connection with their customers.
Yeah.
Their adverts are, you know, we're like you, we understand you.
Yeah.
So where is the common sense for a company to go, right, we want to really resonate with our characters, get a robot voice to say it. Like, do me a favor. What are you on about?
makes sense.
Do you know what I mean? It's the most, like, backwards way of trying. So this is why I'm not overly worried about it. Because, in certain areas where it may get better, okay, I can see the threat. But in other areas, I'm like, I can't see the logic why they would do it. Because it breaks the very spirit of what they're trying to create in terms of that connection with the consumers.
Yeah, completely agree.
And I think in line with that, some of these performances, the ones that are more sort of personable, it is really like a person, a character telling a story. And again, and full circle, I think that's why getting some acting skills and ability under your belt, I think, is so important these days.
You need to get yourself in the best possible position. So, well, I was just going to say, so like we've kind of laid out what our plans are. So how are you going to go about achieving it? What are your plans?
Well, my next step is to get... being at acting school, I'm staying at MSA. I'm going to stay doing that because I love that. And I just love it. It's my favourite day of the week.
I am very jealous that you get to act like for a full day every week.
I love it. It's just the best thing. But my next step is definitely to get another coach. Another coach. So like I like working with Jude for my demos and stuff. But I want to look at getting another coach. My only issue with getting a coach, right, is... And this might sound stupid, but it kind of makes sense. And that is, how do you... Right, sometimes I look at a VO coach, like football managers, right? So...
I'm going to pretend to be any wavelength here, yeah?
No, but I'm sort of thinking on the fly, so it might come out... If it's a load of shite, you're not even going to hear this anyway, I'll delete it. But, Well, like a football team have a style of play, so they get a manager in to do that style of play, but not every manager makes it work. So does that suddenly mean all the players are bad, or is it just because the manager isn't, you know, aligning with what the team needs? And I suppose in some ways there's a bit of a stress getting the right VO coach, because yeah, they might be good, but it just doesn't work with you, and therefore, like, what if they're teaching you stuff that makes you go backwards almost?
Yeah.
Like, what if they're trying to teach you styles that does? I know, obviously, you can, because I'm not the sort of person to be like, no, sorry, don't like this. I'm not a confrontational person, so I'd be like, I try and make it work, but
yeah,
some people
I'm
are
so
really direct.
Overly polite. I feel such a sense of obligation.
It's pathetic.
Like, if I work with someone, and other people are like, just, you know, don't use them. And you're like, oh well, I know, but I've just, I get so awkward.
I know some people who have worked with some demo producers or coaches who are like, you know, they've got their success says everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. You go with people, but they've like, but their style just doesn't align with theirs.
Yeah, you're not going to meld with everybody. And like, coaching is one of those areas that you need to find somebody who you can work with, who understands you, who gets you, who can get the best out of you.
Yeah. So it's, there's a little bit of a stress that goes on that, but you know, like I say, you look at people's successes, you know, the students and what they've got, and you look at the styles that they do, and you think, okay, is that something that
word of mouth is
I
a really
do?
Good way of doing it to start starting point, and then obviously a lot of them do like 15-minute consultations and stuff, don't they? Or like, you can have a chat with them and just see, which I think is a really good idea, because if you don't click with someone, you know, don't work with them.
Yeah, and
have you done any coaching before?
Yeah, but not for a while.
Yeah,
but and the thing is, it's staffed as well, because I'm a huge sort of proponent for, you know, if you want to stay in the game,
because
you're always learning.
Yeah.
But I think I've been a bit too negligent with coaching by doing it regularly enough, because, and like, I think like anything, through experience and repetition you naturally improve. But I think I really want someone to sit me down, listen to some stuff and go, right, you need to do this, you need to change that, think about doing this, because we're so used to self-directing all the time, you almost end up believing your own bullshit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I like being critiqued. I like someone say, that was terrible, that was shit, you can do way. No, but I'm not offended, it doesn't bother me, because, you know, some people
I
like the
softer
approach.
I might want a slightly softer, I like very honest, but if you're shit, you can do better, it probably wouldn't work well for me.
Yeah, but not in a nasty way, it's just like in a
honest way, yeah.
But in a way that they're trying to sort of G you up, like, I know you're better than this. Come on, let's dig deep and find it.
Some people wouldn't
relate
to that at all. So I think what we're saying is, like, everyone is so different. Finding somebody who works for you is really important.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I've done a bit of coaching, well, quite a bit of coaching before, but the kind of one-to-one coaching that I've done, I did a couple of sessions with Diane Perry, who I cannot praise enough.
I've heard loads of good things
about
her.
I love her so much as a coach and as a person. And she really... When I just started VoiceOver, she's the person I went to, and that was contact through the VoiceOver network, actually. And she really helped me believe myself. She was like, you are good enough, get yourself out there. And I needed someone to say that to me. So I really recommend her. And then last year I did a fair bit of coaching with Stefan Cornicard, who I've mentioned before. Clearly I do love Stefan. But I do. And that was around acting, because I want to keep improving my acting, because I want to do character work. And my goodness, I loved those sessions. Like, you with your whole day of acting, this one might have been an hour, but I came away buzzing, because I was flexing that muscle and really feeling like I'm never more alive than when I'm acting.
reminds me, when I first started out, as I told you before, like, I really wanted to
I feel
do
slightly tense. Like, Michael's gone very serious now.
No, because... I mean, listen, I don't have any problem at all.
Why have you gone red?
Talking my embarrassing moments and stuff, because they're just stories, you know what I mean?
They're so,
so when I first started out, as I said before, I really wanted to do, like, radio dramas. I had no acting experience. But I was just, like, I was really keen. I was really, like, really motivated to try and get involved in it. Anyway, I remember I was on the Mandy website, and this was back in, what, 2018, thereabouts. So I was on the Mandy website, and then this job came in for this radio drama. It's a student project in London, but they would pay for your travel, food and expenses.
Yeah.
But the role itself wasn't paid for, because it was a student project. I looked at it. So I auditioned for this role, and my audition got me the job.
Well done.
I was like, oh, sweet. So anyway... Right, so this story was like, think of Beauty and the Beast. So like, the candle talks, the couch talks, the wardrobe. I mean, all
I'm
that
familiar,
shit.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so I was playing the dog, the family dog, right? And I had quite a lot to say, but I'd learned it all. Like I said, my audition got me the job. So I'm on the train going to London. I get an email off this girl. She says, actually, we've decided to recast you. Now you're going to play Nico the couch and the husband. I was like, oh. And she goes, yeah, and the couch is Italian. I was like, oh, fuck. So there's me sat on the train 2 hours to London.
Oh,
right, and now
God.
Suddenly I've now got to learn how to put on some Italian. Well, obviously...
I'm dying for you inside right
instant
now.
Instant fear kicked in. Yeah. The husband's all right. You can just talk in your natural voice.
But the Italian couch.
I mean, what? My name is Nico.
No, please don't. Just please don't.
Right, do you know what I mean? Can't do that for like, you know, however many lines. Because anyway, so get there. And obviously I was bricking it. I'm way out of my depth. Yeah. I have no experience. I mean, she knew that. It was a student project. And that's why, like, you know, they kind of know what they're getting. But even so, I get there and they've got the fucking experienced actors, haven't they? They've got a woman who's a newsreader for Sky News that does acting on the side, who I kind of recognise, can't remember who she is now. This other fella who was great, the guy who took my place for the dog, and it was she cast it well because he was perfect for it.
He was very dog-like.
Loads of experience
big
in radio drama.
Ears.
So we sit there to do this table read, and I was like, right, can I just say that I'm really struggling to do the Nico couch thing. So she went, it's all right, don't worry about it. Just try and just maybe just lower your voice a little bit so we can distinguish between husband. So all I did was I sat at this table and I just dipped my chin and lowered my voice and talked a bit more like that. And everyone just looked at me.
Oh, God.
It was like the worst thing you could have possibly asked for. So in the end, she sort of like, let's just give up on the table read. Let's just get in there and get started.
Did you do the Italian in your...
No Italian.
Oh, okay, right.
I just tried to...
Because you sounded more like Northern then when you did that.
Oh, it gets worse.
Okay.
Right. So we go into this room. You've got this big... no one's ever done radio dramas. It's the only one I've done. But in this one, there's a big mic hanging down from the ceiling. We all sort of stand around it in a circle. We've got our papers, but you've got to be super quiet for rustling and all that. Anyway, so we're doing these lines and everything. And then towards the end of it, Nico, he's in a relationship with like the wardrobe or something. So there's like this big burglary in this scene. The house, the candle falls on the couch or whatever. So it all gets set on fire. And she's like, this poor girl's next to me. We don't know each other. It's suddenly like, we've got to do this like really intimate scene. And the girl, she's like, she says, now you just got to remember you're... Yeah, you're both madly in love, but this is it. You're both about to die and you're both setting on fire. And she's like, you just need to feel that heat and energy. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh
like,
my what? God. So, you should definitely have had prior warning of that.
She's next. And the lines are like, oh, baby. And in my head, I was sort of like picturing it. I was like, imagine like, oh, baby, it's so warm. What came out was like, oh, my God, baby. It's a low budget porn film.
Oh my god!
I don't know if you've ever had night terrors, but in night terrors,
I feel like I will now after that.
In night terrors, like you're screaming like ah, but if someone's lying next to you, all they hear is you going ah. That's exactly what it felt like. Anyway, so literally, I went bright red. Instant panic set over me. I was like, I need to get out of here. I'm well out of my depth.
But you should have known about that before. In terms of like, if you're doing some kind of sex scene, even, you know, even just verbally, God, prior notice is needed.
No, it wasn't a sex scene. It was like, it was just a really passionate end of life. We're both on fire. We're dying. You're holding each other's arms and you're going
to
die together.
Anyway.
And it's like, no, it wasn't an actual sex. It wasn't a sex. You know, like, you're burning to death. It's like, you know what I fancy doing right now? Like, do
you know what I mean? Fair point.
God, it's good to laugh. So, coaching, leveling up, all that stuff, where are you at?
I would love to do coaching again. I've really found the benefit, you know, really found benefit in it. I think at the moment I need to be wary about money going out. I feel like I've spent, it's an expensive industry and it's an expensive job to have. So I feel there's a lot of outgoings and I want to be mindful of that. So I'm going to, for the short term anyway, look into what else I can do to help myself level up without a coach. And there's so much in terms of, well, like group coaching, which is amazing and a bit cheaper, doing like more scenes with you and other people in terms of acting, thinking about just like, I'd like to get better at American accents, for example. So just doing more reading, just talking in an American accent, all that kind of stuff, I know over time will make a difference. So just being a bit more committed to that kind of work that I can do without paying anything out.
All right, Sunshine. Well, I guess that wraps us up.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah, I've not laughed like that for a while. That was good. You know, trust
just
me,
no more Italian couches, please.
Oh, there's more stories. I can tell you that.
More to come.
Yeah. But thanks very much for sticking with us for another episode, folks. We sincerely hope you enjoyed it.
Well, can I just say first, let's get, you know, if everybody's happy to like and share and all that good stuff as well, we really appreciate that. And again, very grateful for everything that's come so far.
Go on, we'll do it this time.
We're going to do it. This is exciting.
Thanks very much for listening, folks, to the
Off Air Podcast.
Jesus Christ, right. Never again.
That was crazy. Okay. See you next week.